This Moment of Science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Office of the Provost.
Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear with help from Bill von Hippel at the University of Queensland, Australia. I'm Yael Cassander.
And I'm Don Glass.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
It's 2:40. Michigan football coach Rich Rodriguez says he and his staff are being totally cooperative with an NCAA investigation of the program. The university started its own probe in August after the Detroit Free Press cited anonymous players saying their workouts exceeded NCAA time limits. The NCAA investigation was confirmed yesterday. The NCAA says it plans to finish by December 31st. The starting quarterback for conference-leading Southern Illinois is likely out for the rest of the season. The Salukis say that junior Chris Deeker will be sidelined for 6 weeks with a broken left collarbone. The Salukis are 6-1 overall and 5-0 in the Missouri Valley Conference, entering Saturday's game at Indiana State. Chicago Blackhawks center Jonathan Toews and defenseman Brent Seabrook are still listed as day-to-day with what are believed to be symptoms related to concussions. They each missed a second consecutive game last night. The Hawks defeated Minnesota last night 3-1. And the NBA's four-game opening night schedule gets started in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers await the Boston Celtics. Also this evening, along with a matchup between the Clippers and Lakers in L.A., Dallas hosts Washington and Houston plays at Portland. That's sports.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Vladimir Feltzman and the Pacifica Quartet on November 5th. More information on this and other upcoming events is at KrannertCenter.com.
A couple of U.S.-based corporations, Boeing and Northrop Grumman, are vying for a giant U.S. Air Force contract. The competition has pitted two regions of the country against each other, and a group of southern politicians just upped the ante, NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
At stake is a $35 billion contract to replace the Air Force's aging fleet of tankers that refuel warplanes in midair. Northrop Grumman would team with the European parent firm of Airbus to make the new tankers in Mobile, Alabama. Boeing would make them in Washington State. Northrop won the contract last year, but the Pentagon canceled it after a Boeing challenge. Now the fight is on again. Yesterday, Alabama Governor Bob Riley unveiled the nonprofit Aerospace Alliance to promote a Gulf Coast space and aviation corridor stretching from Louisiana to Florida. Its first priority, the lucrative tanker contract.
We are going to create American jobs in Alabama, northern Florida, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Riley touted the region's history with NASA and the military. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour said the workforce is trained and ready.
And I'll tell you something. When you choose our workforce, you don't have to worry about them being out on strike when America needs them.
Labor unions, business groups, and politicians in Washington State and Kansas are pushing Boeing's tanker bid. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Orange Beach, Alabama.
China has seized on the global recession as an opportunity when it comes to energy. China has taken advantage of low prices and snapped up energy resources it can use for future economic growth. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has more from Beijing.
So far this year, China has bought up an estimated $15 billion worth of oil and gas supplies worldwide, already double last year's figure. Last week, Russia agreed to sell China about 2.5 trillion cubic feet of natural gas a year, almost as much as Russia sells to all of Europe. In August, China paid $8.9 billion to purchase the Swiss firm ADAX, giving it access to oil in northern Iraq and West Africa. Wu Kang, an energy expert at the East-West Center in Hawaii, says China's state oil firms are paying top dollar for their purchases.
They are cash rich, which is why they can offer better terms to the host countries or companies.
Wu says low oil prices have offered China important opportunities. First, China has bought and stored billions of barrels of oil in strategic reserves, which can insulate the country from market fluctuations. Also, Wu says, the recession reduces the need for government subsidies that keep gasoline artificially cheap in China.
This slowing down of the demand globally gives people a chance, particularly for China, to reform when oil prices are low.
Internationally, China's oil shopping binge has raised concerns that China is elbowing out other countries in a competition for finite resources. Experts point out, though, that China only became a net oil importer 16 years ago. As a latecomer to the market, China has had to buy oil from countries with pariah reputations, war-torn territories, and hard-to-extract oil reserves. Philip Andrews Speed, an energy expert at the University of Dundee in Scotland, says that by doing this, China is actually increasing the global supply of oil.
They're going in and producing in countries that otherwise people might not be producing in. So actually, at the margins, they are producing more oil to market than would be if nobody was going into those countries.
Andrew Speed says oil producers have various reasons for selling to China. Some poorer nations want the infrastructure investment that China often pledges to sweeten an oil deal. Other countries, like Venezuela, see China as a political counterweight to the U.S. But many are just betting that the global focus of political and economic power is shifting China's way.
Very oil-rich countries, particularly in the Middle East, see that China and East Asia is becoming the major demand center, and therefore they want to build diplomatic and commercial links with future major customers.
Critics say China's purchases of oil from Iran and Sudan are undermining international sanctions against those countries. Others accuse China of freeloading off U.S. military protection to extract oil from the Persian Gulf. Jin Sanrong, an international affairs expert at People's University in Beijing, says that China's government is not totally insensitive to these charges.
China's elites know that their country has benefited from the U.S.-led international system. So China has made the strategic choice to join this system. It now wants to become a builder and contributor to the system.
China is gradually learning, Jin says, to manage the political risks and international criticism that come with its foreign energy acquisitions. Often, he says, it's learning the hard way from its mistakes. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
Coming up today on The World for PRI, a singer from Argentina says she's in the right place to discover music from across Latin America. Manhattan. Hear the Pan-American jazz of vocalist Sofia Rey Kosovidis. That story and the day's news coming up on The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. NPR's Steve Inskeep recently talked with Thomas Lauderdale and China Forbes of the band Pink Martini about their new album.
The musician Thomas Lauderdale built a successful career, yet he's still taking piano lessons. That classical music, heard here on an old recording, grew into a song of Lauderdale's own. The way it did tells you something about the creative process of Lauderdale's band, Pink Martini. Lauderdale and his colleagues assembled a song the way that you might make a collage. In fact, that classical composition became a pair of songs on their new album, Splendor in the Grass. The process begins with Lauderdale, his producer, and a chance encounter with some sheet music.
The Schubert was lying out on my piano, and somehow we were sort of like singing along with the melody, and just the phrase, and then you're gone, kind of popped in. And that's how it all sort of unfolded, just from that, from the Schubert and from the phrase, and then you're gone.
So they had a melody, they had a refrain, and they made this.
My dear Lorenzo, you take my hand and understand the tears that I have cried. We light the candles and pour the wine and laugh as if you'll never leave my side. You take me in your arms and tell me that I'll always be the only one.
and then you're gone.
Pink Martini is a creation of Lauderdale and China Forbes, the singer we're hearing now. They became famous mixing different styles of music. Plenty of people do that, of course, but Pink Martini seems to do it with one eyebrow raised, so you're never quite sure if they're joking.
You come to see me on a Saturday presenting peonies, knowing just what to say.
What's happening in that song?
Well, it takes the theme from Fantasy for Piano for Four Hands by Franz Schubert in F minor, and then suddenly it becomes a Latin beat sort of kicks in, and it becomes somewhere between I Will Survive, Shirley Bassey, and Schubert, and a tango.
What else can you throw in? Cupcake.
The idea was to sort of, like, you know, it's sort of a, I'm not going to take it anymore kind of song. The opposite of that Shirley Bassey song, I Who Have Nothing. Mm. This is sort of like, I've got a lot and get lost.
Did you start with a different kind of song than you finished with?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have, you know.
It was long and repetitive. We cut it down.
You know, the day that I tried to, we introduced this song to the band, they were not, nobody was happy.
It's a process, Steve.
And so we were sort of forlorn and ran away, and we started thinking about, what if we did it to a swing beat? And suddenly we had not one, but two songs. So it was like, you know, if you think this is repetitive, try this.
Well, let's play a little bit of the second song where we hear from the love interest who's walked out on you, China Forbes, but has come back briefly. And I should mention for our listeners, this is an NPR correspondent who will be very familiar to some of our listeners. And just listen a little bit and see if you can figure out who it is.
My dear Maria, I'm here to see you. Won't you please, please open the door? I brought you flowers, been waiting hours, can't stand it anymore. So here's what happened when you were napping. I just went out for a snack. I was feeling famished, and then I vanished. But now I'm back.
Pink Martini from their new recording, the second of a pairing of songs, the first from a woman singing about a man who's gone, the second a man announcing that he's back. And I told you that voice was an NPR correspondent. That correspondent is with us now. And, sir, would you please give us your NPR out cue?
Ari Shapiro, NPR News.
Justice correspondent and frequent guest host here on Morning Edition. How on earth did you end up on this recording?
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
You guys are old friends. We should say that. Yeah. You've known each other.
We both grew up in Portland, and so we've known each other for years. And in June, the band came to Washington, D.C. for a show. And I threw a dinner party for them and a bunch of D.C. friends and some other Portland folks. And the party turned into somehow a sing-along in the upstairs of my house around the piano. And the next day, sitting at my desk at NPR, Thomas calls me, and he says, "Will you do a song on the next album?" And I say this with love, Thomas tends to come up with sort of cockamamie, harebrained ideas that could never actually take place, that somehow he manages to actually make happen.
Typical Pink Martini experience.
Is it? Really?
Kind of. Sometimes.
Sometimes it could be really by the seat of our pants, which is kind of, you know, it makes it exciting.
That's how your pants get so many holes. And
keeps them on their toes.
Come on, this is morning radio.
Oh, sorry.
You think I miss you each time you disappear. Maybe I used to, but it's becoming clear. I know your tricks, I've heard your song. You swear your love and then you're gone.
I'm not really a songwriter. China's more really of a songwriter than I am. My urge is more to just practice Schubert and try to become better.
I wonder, Mr. Lauderdale, if the word for you would be less a songwriter than a composer. And I mean that in a slightly different way than people would talk about a composer of music. You seem to compose instruments, compose people, pull different thoughts and ideas together that you get different places and rearrange them in new ways.
Or maybe like a ringmaster.
We're in a circus.
I guess so.
Well,
the ringleader would be more like, you know.
I liked composer. I think you're right. You know, composition in a painting, composition.
Right.
It's like a tableau, and Thomas is actually moving the figurines around. And
isn't that just
rearranging
called set decorator?
Interior designer.
Interior designer.
You're all of it. Pastry chef.
I can do all of it.
Now just be gone.
Thomas Lauderdale and China Forbes lead Pink Martini, whose new album is Splendor in the Grass. It features a guest appearance by NPR's Ari Shapiro and includes two songs inspired by a classical composition by Franz Schubert. And you can hear both those songs at nprmusic.org.
Thomas Lauderdale, China Forbes, and Ari Shapiro spoke with Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep. This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 5 minutes before 3 o'clock. This Saturday is Halloween, and for your devilish pleasure, our companion station WILL-FM will air the scariest music of all time, beginning at 4.06 p.m., continuing until midnight. Because of this program change, this week only, AM 580 will bring you the Saturday live broadcast of A Prairie Home Companion. Join us this Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. for A Prairie Home Companion on AM 580.
Earth and Sky.
Tuesday, October 27th, 2009. If your sky is clear, you can't miss the planet Jupiter tonight.
Jupiter's that blazing point of light near tonight's waxing gibbous moon. In fact, Jupiter ranks as the second brightest celestial object to light up tonight's evening sky after the moon. Jupiter will be the brightest star in the evening sky from now till the end of the year.
Jupiter is the fifth planet outward from the sun, the king planet of our solar system. Jupiter's mass is more than twice the mass of all the other solar system planets combined. Even though Jupiter looks small in the sky next to the moon, that's only because the moon is so much closer to us than Jupiter.
Tonight, the moon lies about 400,000 kilometers or 250,000 miles away from Earth. That's only 1.3 light seconds away. In contrast, Jupiter shines from about 39 light minutes away. Despite Jupiter's great distance, this world still shines brightly in our sky because the cloud cover surrounding this huge world efficiently reflects sunlight. Jupiter's the fourth brightest heavenly body after the Sun, Moon, and the planet Venus.
So this evening, let the Moon be your guide to Jupiter, the solar system's largest planet. I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's programs comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com.
No Jupiter for us tonight, nor the moon. We've got cloudy skies in the forecast. Perhaps tomorrow night we'll get a glimpse of the moon and Jupiter. Let's take a look at the forecast for Illinois and Indiana as prepared by meteorologist Ed Kieser. For the remainder of the afternoon, in northwestern Illinois, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere in the north, mostly cloudy with patchy fog. In central sections, cloudy with patchy fog and area.